The Lord takes all the enmity that Adam and Eve had accomplished by their disobedience to God's command and by their eating of the fruit. The Lord takes all that enmity and he says, no longer is it between us. Now it's between me and the devil and between you and the devil.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And here's the point. The Lord did not bring an end to the war, not yet, but the Lord says now, I'm going to war, not against you, but for you, to deliver you and to make peace.
You can watch and listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's presentation, Making the Case for Christian Peace, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
A lot of people think the press is opposed to religion. No, many journalists believe that there's good religion and there's bad religion.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright wrote a book. She says, in my generation, diplomats were trained to stay away from religion, but it is too important to do that. The world is religious.
I think Luther hits the nail on the head. He neither needs to improperly elevate Mary as co-redemptrix or the object of our intercession, but neither does he denigrate her. He honors her as the Mother of God.
There are people who have been misled by the ELCA, by the leadership, and by many pastors. And maybe this is our hour that our Lord is calling us to snatch these blessed people that Jesus redeemed out of the fire that is potentially their eternal demise.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It was just a few weeks ago that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America met in its churchwide assembly. They said a lot of things, did a lot of things, but a question was asked. This was asked by the church's presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton. Is it time for a new reformation? What was she talking about? Turns out it doesn't have a lot to do, might not have anything whatsoever to do with the 16th century Lutheran Reformation. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Pastor Larry Peters, author of a recent column titled A New Reformation, about the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's call for a new reformation. Then Dr. John Sego, president of Texas Right to Life, will be alongside. We'll discuss a federal judge blocking the Health and Human Services attempt to bypass a Texas abortion law. Larry Peters is senior pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, author of a recent column, A New Reformation. Larry, welcome back.
How you doing, Todd? It's good to be back.
How does the theology and practice of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America compare with that of the 16th century Lutheran Reformation?
Well, I think the Lutheran Reformation, although it's been thought to be about a number of things, was really about a question of authority. What is the true authority in the church? Is it scripture, the councils? Is it confessions and creeds? Is it offices and popes? And one of the things that's happened in the ELCA from almost the very beginning is that scripture has been displaced as the basis for the faith, as the thing which norms as well as defines what it is that the church believes, teaches, and confesses. Now, this happened in a variety of ways. On one hand, it happened in the sense that reason entered into all of this. The curiosity, the postulants of theologians, the opinions of man became equal to scripture, so that scripture itself no longer spoke definitively on the things that it had really, by everyone at the time of the Reformation, all sides had agreed scripture spoke clearly about such things as the historicity of biblical events and characters, the virgin birth, the physical resurrection of our Lord, and all of those things that were not in debate, were not in question at the time. Well, they are in debate and they are in question in the ELCA today. There's a different definition of the gospel that is at place within the ELCA. The gospel is no longer tethered to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to sin and forgiveness, to redemption and the resurrection of the body and everlasting life. But the gospel is a principle that applies, love that manifests itself in a whole variety of positions on social issues and social justice causes along the way. And inherent in the LCA is the authority within the church to deviate from even the clearest words of Scripture when it is believed that that deviation from Scripture accords with what is going on in culture and reflects a different understanding of the so-called science of things all along the way. From the very beginning, even now to the present day, there's at least been the potential, which we have seen flourish in the present day, for the LCA to be a church that is largely untethered to Scripture, creed, and confession.
At the ELCA's churchwide assembly recently, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton asked if it's time for a new reformation. What is she talking about?
Well, what happened at the ELCA assembly is that it was really kind of a sort of a stealth resolution that didn't seem to be a big deal that came along suggesting that maybe it was time for a commission for a renewed Lutheran church. The idea being that things have changed since 1987 and the commission for a new Lutheran church then put together the structures and the various expressions as well as the principles for the organization of that denomination. In the end, it became something more than what people thought it was, and Bishop Eaton embraced it for a variety of reasons. Declining numbers, the LCA has literally lost half of its numbers. Conflicts that have arisen. This churchwide assembly was filled with conflict, not really about what Scripture says or what we believe, teach, and confess, but about such things as social justice and how people respond to various causes that are related to such issues as that. It was about a concern for a church whose focus has become so broad as to really stand for nothing particular. The church has found itself with synods that are largely autonomous, so that the ELCA, instead of being a church with a clear and consistent teaching and confession, has become more or less a federation of disparate groups whose beliefs vary more widely than ever before. And finally, of course, the reason why everything like this takes life is the shrunken budgets of a declining church.
I want to come back to that declining church in a moment. But in that vein, you say that Eaton is calling essentially for a shuffling of deck chairs on a sinking ship. What do you mean by that?
Well, first, let me say that I have great concern in my heart for what the state of Lutheranism is. There's no joy in looking at a church literally lose its identity and lose its focus like the LCA has done. But the reality is that in almost every case, churches confront doctrinal and theological issues with bylaw conflicts, with things that deal with structure and constitution and, you know, how the process of things works out. We in the LCMS are certainly guilty of that in our own history. When we faced theological controversies, we've dealt with them more on the basis of what the bylaws say than what Scripture says. Well, in the LCA, what's happened is that the concern is that things are not going well, the ship is sinking, so what do? Well, you refurbish the exterior. Instead of dealing with the heart, the beating heart of the church, what it means to believe, teach, and confess Jesus Christ crucified and risen.
Give us some examples, some concrete examples of how the ELCA, as you say, replaced the clear word of God with man-made resolutions, bylaws, and rules since 1988.
Well, the first thing has to do with its creation. It was constituted with a structure that was designed to create and respect a diversity of belief and with an inability to confess clearly what the church believed, taught, and confessed. The reason why there was no clear confession, for example, of Scripture as the infallible source and norm of faith is that there was no agreement among the various groups that came together. It was from the very beginning a big tent approach to what Scripture says. So all the way through their history, it's not been simply a matter of resolutions that have been adopted, but again, the approach to what the business of the church is and how that business is carried out. So, for example, the ecumenical agenda became one of the most important priorities of that new Lutheran church. And with it came the blurred focus of what we are actually receiving in the sacrament, and therefore who should receive that sacrament together, to the point where the ELCA is in communion with various ecumenical partners where there is no clear confession of what it is that is actually being received as you commune together at the same altar. So, you know, all the way along the way, of course, culminating in 2009 with the big sex decisions that were made, where the consistent teaching of Scripture and literally every Christian church almost up until that point were set aside in favor of a different answer. We see that especially true in the ELCA's inability to rein in some of the strangest voices in their big tent. And by that, I know you've dealt with the issue over her church in San Francisco and the inability of a church body to even come to a common agreement about who God is.
So why do the radical progressive voices hold so much sway in the ELCA?
Well, in part because it was created that way. It was a church body structured so that there would be every voice at the table from the beginning. And it was done so in the beginning largely through a sense of quotas that were certainly targeted toward race and ethnicity, but that were also targeted toward the diversity of beliefs that would become the ELCA. So you have that history, that structure that was put in place that sort of created what has become the inability of the ELCA to speak with one voice. As an example here, we in the LCMS certainly have our share of problems. Don't get me wrong. I'm not holding up the LCMS to say that we are perfect. But our church body has, as a national body, been clear and consistent, whereas in the ELCA, there is no national voice, except for the things where the church has deviated from Scripture. And with that, the church speaks clearly and insists that there can be no compromise and indeed no tolerance of any diversity of belief on those issues, on social issues, for example. Finally, I would say there's probably no real mechanism to handle the kind of discipline that would be required. One of the most dramatic things that happened at the current churchwide assembly was the apology of the presiding bishop to a very small congregation in California, whose pastor had been on the ballot for bishop of that synod. There had been charges raised. The bishop who was elected ended up taking action against this pastor, and this great drama where Presiding Bishop Eaton made a clear apology to this congregation for all that had happened, all the offense that had been caused. What stands out in my mind is being so stark in contrast is that there is no apology given or asked from those voices who clearly deviate from what Scripture says, from creed and confession that has stood for hundreds, even thousands of years. So it shows the character of a church body where unanimity on these social issues is required, but there is no unity required on the most basic confession of who Christ is, who God is, what our Lord has come to accomplish, how we receive the fruits of his atoning work, for example.
Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking with him about the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America calling for a new reformation on the other side. Why do they continue to accommodate the world in its doctrine and practice? Wake up, Martin
Luther. Welcome to the future. Don't forget, every single person is someone for whom Christ died, someone that Christ wants with them in eternity, and they're going to get there by you witnessing Christ's reality to them.
Dr. Joel Bierman speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's how we make a case for a Lutheran worldview. It comes into right confession, but confession is more than just what's going on in your head. It's what you're living out. It's what you're practicing. It's what you're doing. You're practicing the reality of Christ, and it shows in everything that you do, all the time. And so, this is the way that we live our Christian lives, in faith toward God, in love toward neighbor. Luther said it well. It is the heart of our Lutheran confession.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Dr. Bierman's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Worldview, from this year's Making the Case Conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $300, you can download an audio and video recording. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
In the book of Acts, St. Paul tells the story of his conversion three different times, and each time slightly differently. Does this mean that there are contradictions in the book of Acts? That there are contradictions in the scriptures? By no means. But if you've ever wondered this or other questions like it, you should pick up a copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, Breathed Out by God, in which we talk about how to understand these seeming contradictions of scripture. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
It's August, and time to look forward to the academic year. Ad Crucem has just what you need to beautify your classroom, at home or school. We've crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, Luther's Daily Prayers, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Athanasian Creed, Liturgical Calendar, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Green River, Wyoming. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Brookings, South Dakota. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Timothy Lutheran, Huber Heights, Ohio, and Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Larry Peters about the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America calling for a new reformation. Here's an excerpt from the Issues Etc. book of the month for August. It's a family activity kit called The Tree of Life. Jesus' healing miracles give us a wonderful glimpse into what he will do on Judgment Day when he comes to restore all of God's creation. He will raise and glorify our bodies, making them perfect and immortal forever. It's so easy to think that the end goal of our faith is spending an eternity in the spiritual life of heaven. We will enjoy this after our bodies die, but Jesus' healings remind us that Jesus will reunite our spirits with our glorious risen bodies. There, we will live with him in a new heavens and a new earth forever. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, the Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it for your family, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, Pastor Peters, why theologically has the ELCA continued to accommodate the world in its doctrine and its practice?
Well, when you don't have a message that addresses sin and forgiveness, that speaks of the nature and the blessing of an atonement that happens at the cost of the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ shed upon the cross, when you don't offer a clear and consistent hope of the resurrection of the body and eternal life, your focus almost naturally turns to the here and now. And in one sense, what has happened is the LCA has decided that their primary cause is to build a better world. And the saddest part of that is that the better world that they want to build is built to accommodate and built upon the structure of prevailing voices in our culture and society today, more so than it is scripture itself. And it ends up being a distortion of what it means to love. We just heard, was it last Sunday in the epistle about the love that disciplines and holds us accountable? And there is no discipline and there is no accountability in the ELCA except for those cases and those people who would violate what are the sacred tenets of the ELCA's constitutive identity now. And that relates to such things as sex and gender and social justice and climate change and a host of other things.
I interviewed Bishop Eaton in 2017. She used all the right Lutheran language and buzzwords. I imagine someone just listening and not knowing who I was speaking to would have thought they were hearing from a genuine Lutheran. Knowing what she and her church actually believes, how is she able to do this?
Well, in part, you know, the vocabulary almost always remains the same, but what the words mean change. And that's what makes this so dangerous. You know, heresy never really comes in the front door of any church. It always comes in the back door. And it starts out by using the buzzwords that are part of everybody's hearing. We perk up, we listen to them, we look for them. And when we hear them, we presume that, you know, everything is solid, everything is good, everything is right. The only problem is that the words themselves do not mean what they meant when the Lutherans first confessed them in our Book of Concord. They don't mean the same thing that Scripture means in its context. The real difficulty is that liturgically, for example, sad to say that probably in the LCA you find more churches that actually follow their hymnal and follow the order of worship that their church body has than you might find typically in the LCMS. And so on the outside, it looks like everything is wonderful. The problem is that words have to mean something. When you confess in the creed that Christ is born of a virgin, but you don't believe that there is such a thing, when you confess in the creed, for example, that you believe in all that Christ's atonement is, beginning with that incarnation, suffering, death, and physical resurrection, when those words no longer mean what they say literally, then there's always room for a church body to have the appearance that it has remained the same, even while the foundations of its faith and practice are radically different. And I certainly don't think that Bishop Eaton is one of the more radical voices in the LCA. I think she wants to believe that at their core, everybody believes pretty much solidly a historic Orthodox Christian faith in some sense of that term. But the reality is that the ELCA tolerates and celebrates a radical diversity of expression of what these things mean. And so the words themselves have become almost meaningless as a result of that.
I think the last question I asked Bishop Eaton had to do with the ELCA's subscription to the Lutheran Confessions. And she effusively praised the Lutheran Confessions, but she ended by saying that she did believe that the Lutheran Confessions were a faithful exposition of the gospel, not of God's word. What's the difference there?
Well, there are a couple things going on. First thing is to say that the confessions are a faithful exposition is not to say that, you know, we believe that the confessions of our church are in full accord with Scripture. We believe that they are faithful insofar as, in other words. The second thing is in the ELCA, there's far more attention given to the gospel than to the Word of God, and there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that there is no agreement largely on the part of the folks in the LCA, at least the leadership, as to what the Word of God says, whether it's historic, factual, whether it's true in the basic sense in which we read these words. But there is a general agreement in the LCA about this idea of the gospel. And by when I say idea of the gospel, what I mean is that the gospel is not simply what Jesus said the gospel was when, for example, he was getting ready to ascend and he showed his disciples how Scripture testified to him, to his incarnation, to his suffering, to his death, to his resurrection, and to the forgiveness of sins, which they would be called to proclaim to the ends of the earth in his name. When she uses the term gospel, it also means, and it may primarily mean, a liberating principle, a principle that calls for an expression of freedom from constraint, that encourages people to look at Scripture and come to their own conclusion with what it says and how it applies, and to speak a word of love that, in many respects, cannot speak anything but love and acceptance and tolerance and affinity for other people, and refuses to bound human behavior or define sin according to the Scripture.
Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about the recently concluded churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We'll get to a listener's email next. Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're talking with Pastor Larry Peters, Senior Pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, about the recently concluded churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So, we were recently discussing the possibility of ELCA refugees coming to our church body, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and a listener emailed us saying this, quote, "From pastoral experience as an ELCA pastor for over 30 years, when the topic came up of the LCMS, no way. Why? First, ordination of women. As one woman told me, women pastors saved the church. Second, the big one, closed communion. I was at an LCMS congregation and the pastor wouldn't commune me, some say indignantly. I hear this comment on many occasions and more than one congregation. Closed communion is a deal breaker. I think these are the two major reasons that the Missouri Synod is not a lifeboat for disenchanted ELCA members. Larry, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think there is much truth to that. There are certain things that are beyond disagreement in the ELCA. Certainly one of them is women's ordination. We've seen that on the part of many of those who have been disaffected by the churchwide assembly decisions of 2009 that put in place the acceptance of same-sex marriage, that put in place the structures that would lead to the full embrace of all of the various positions on gender that that we see manifest in the LCA and in our culture today. These things are sacred cows, if you will, that you cannot doubt. Most of the people who I know who are disgruntled in the LCA, and I have friends and family members who belong to ELCA congregations, most of them would like to return to the ELCA sort of prior to 2009 or a few years before. In other words, they want to keep all the things that were the very seeds and sources of what flourished into the problems in the ELCA today. They just want to stop it from going that direction. So the ordination of women is one example. The ordination of women is in many respects, that slippery slope that's going to lead to questions about why not gay, why not lesbian, why not transgender, why not, you know, these issues become framed in the context of justice as opposed to what Scripture says and what our confessions have affirmed on the basis of Scripture. And even though the ordination of women wasn't a particular issue in the 16th century, what we say in our confessions makes it pretty solidly clear what side of the coin the reformers were on with respect to such an issue when it would come up. The other part of it is this idea of open communion. In the LCA, you know, this was the framework of the vast ecumenical structure and agenda that the ELCA existed to promote. The idea that, you know, we don't have to confess the same thing in order to be united together at our altar, and also, by the way, in the pulpit. In the LCA, this ecumenical agenda was one of the primary reasons for a new Lutheran church. It was scandalous to the part of many that there would be so many different Lutheran groups and so many different Christian groups. Now, the great plans of Christian unity have certainly gone astray since the 1960s, 70s, and 80s that became the period of fomenting the merger that became the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But the idea of it remains, and if there's not going to be a common headquarters and if there's not going to be a merger of actual jurisdictional offices and church structures, there must be, as part of that basic premise for which the church body was established, there must be that common life together at the altar. And with that, of course, goes the idea that if you cannot confess what it is that is being given and being received with any clarity, then it's going to be a scandal in the eyes of somebody like the Lutheran Church and Missouri Synod. I think the ecumenical agenda of the LCA has sort of run its course, but it remains one of those pivotal reasons, one of those clear boundary markers as to say, this is who we are, and this is why we exist as a church body. So when it comes to a practical measure, you know, there's a unwillingness on the part of ELCA members or clergy to even give the LCMS any consideration. Lastly, I'd say we're probably at fault in this as well. We have certainly had our own problems in being sort of smug and arrogant, and we have our own sins of hubris and pride to repent of. So I think some people feel like there is sort of a refusal to say to the LCMS that you were right and we were wrong. And it's easier for them either to not go to another church body or to go to another church body that is not Lutheran. Because remember, if you look at how many people have left the ELCA since its highest membership numbers were published, you look at how many you've left and you add up the numbers in the LCMC and the NALC, and you look at Missouri's own history, we can't account for what happened to the vast majority of those people. They have just literally disappeared. Maybe they're not going to any church, maybe they're not going to a Lutheran church, but that's a great question mark there. And of course, when you presume that what your church believes, teaches, and confesses may not be the only truth with respect to the central issue of what we receive at the Lord's table, then it makes it very easy to presume that people can literally go anywhere else. And in some cases, I've heard people say they feel like they can be more Lutheran in a non-Lutheran church body than they would be in a Lutheran body like the LCMS.
In 1998, the LCMS passed a resolution declaring through its president, then Dr. A.L. Berry, that the ELCA was no longer a Lutheran church body. What did that mean?
Well, what it did not mean is that somehow we are the Supreme Court to judge, you know, the truth and orthodoxy of another church body. What we were saying is the obvious. When Scripture and the Lutheran confessions are no longer the authoritative basis, the confession of faith, the doctrinal standard of a church body, then what makes that church body Lutheran at all? I mean, we were stating the obvious. We were not judging another's confession in the sense of a presumption. What we're asking is a basic question. How can you claim to be Lutheran when that which governs and defines and informs you as a church body is no longer the classical Lutheran confessions and the scriptures that are the heart and core, the beating heart of the faith? So I think what we were saying is not so much a judgment against, but we were stating the obvious. And in that respect, the LCA has made it perfectly clear that they are very comfortable with what it is that they believe, teach, and confess, and very comfortable deviating from the confessions and from Scripture when those confessions get in the way of the ecumenical agenda that they have before them, the social justice issues that they take to heart as being part of the center of their church's witness and the role of their church in the world.
Finally, with about a minute here, what kind of reformation does the ELCA really need?
I really don't know how to answer that question, because the reality is that there's really not much chance of the ELCA changing. To change would mean to repent of the decisions and the actions that were taken to displace Scripture and the confessions from their role within the life of the church. It would mean to repent of the diversity of beliefs about what Scripture says and what it means. It would mean to restore Scripture, creed, and confession as the central focus of their identity and that which informs and shapes their life together as a church. And then, of course, it would mean they would have to retract the things that they have come to believe are not only essential to their church body and to their witness to the world, but also the things that they no longer will tolerate any diversity upon. One of the things at the churchwide assembly that happened is the idea of removing the conscience clause, which basically said that if you could remain within the ELCA and not agree with the decisions that were taken in 2009. Well, if they remove that conscience clause, what it means is they will no longer allow anyone to deviate from those positions on sex and gender that were taken in 2009, but they have no ability or no desire to hold anyone accountable for the essential creedal teachings of the church and the core and center of what the scriptures say. Without that, it's almost impossible to see that there's going to be any change that will take place in the LCA. If you cannot discipline those extreme voices that deviate from the clear confession of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the work of Christ, and so on, if you cannot change the structure of your church body so that the scriptures have the final authority instead of allowing for a diversity of voices and positions. If you cannot reform the seminary curriculums so that those who are being trained and raised up to be pastors of the ELCA know with clarity their Lutheran identity and are able to vow and promise fealty to that confession, then there isn't really much chance for the ELCA to change who it is and where it's going. And I say that with a great deal of sadness, certainly no joy.
Larry Peters is senior pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent column titled A New Reformation. You can read it at IssuesETC.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives page, IssuesETC.org. Larry, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
Folks, you have until Labor Day to order video and audio recordings of the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains presentations by Bill Barr, Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Poppy Rossinen, Dr. Joel Bierman, and Pastors Chris Rosebro, Brian Wolfmiller, and Will Whedon. For a tax-deductible donation of $300, we'll send you a link, username, and password to the conference recordings. Find out more at IssuesETC.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Dr. John Segoe, president of Texas Right to Life, will join us to talk about a federal judge blocking the attempt of the HHS to bypass a Texas abortion law. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.